Begin Podfix Network transmission in 3, 2, 1.
What's up, y'all? We are the Yummy and Fearless Podcast with the Side Chicks, featuring Yummy and Dark Phoenix. We are the Side Chicks because we give our side of the issues. We are an irreverent and comedic podcast hosted by two seductive and fully grown women that explores pop culture and relationships.
That's right. And if you want a behind-the-scenes glimpse of what fully grown and seductive women talk about when no one is listening, no holds barred, this is your podcast. I'm talking unfiltered. I'm talking not safe for work. And by the way, not for Karens or prudes.
That's right. So check us out at yummyfearless.com.
Let me just, girl,
listen,
part of me was fascinated and amused and like, that chick is genius. The other part of me was like mortified that this chick actually had a sex cult and had men serving her.
But the thing is, they didn't even know they were in a sex cult.
What did they think?
They thought that they were in a spiritual awakening.
By stroking the clit. She actually has stroking sessions to where now it's time to take the pants off. Men get in place.
And stroke.
But and the shit was ingenious. It was ingenious, though, to have men, to have a religion run by women where men join and they have to stroke women and pay you lots of fucking money.
Lots. Get in here and stroke this pussy, man. Get in here and stroke this
How
pussy.
Ingenious is that? Listen. And then make it sound legit, too? She was on Goop. She was on Goop. Endorsements from celebrities and everything. People were buying into it. And I think she totally made this shit up.
She was getting her fucking Walt Disney on. This was all made up.
Okay, because I'm like, I don't think this is real. I think this all came from her head. I don't think this is a real thing, guys.
She has to be on shrooms, ecstasy, powder. How?
Yep.
How you come up with that?
And it was, I'm telling you, she exploited the population. They were willing participants. You know, they participated willingly. She got a little bit beside herself and started showing her diabolical nature.
Yeah, her true nature.
You know, but if, you know, the shit was genius, though.
It was Orgasm Inc. It was genius.
But the name of the company is One Taste, and I believe it's still in operation. But she made a company, a real legit company, out of pleasuring women.
And a spiritual practice.
She made a spiritual practice and a legit business model to stroke a pussy.
I've never heard of a more savvy, innovative way to package and sell pussy than what she was doing.
I mean,
she took the oldest profession in the world and she remarketed and packaged it in a way that I couldn't have. I'm serious. Like, I couldn't have come up with that. Somebody could offer me $1 million, you know what I mean, to come up with a new way to sell pussy, and I wouldn't have been able to, like, I mean, hell.
And she made it sound legit.
Yes.
She made it sound, I mean, and then you get men to pay you to give you pleasure and then call it a religion.
and meditate through this pussy, nigga. She was like, meditate through this pussy, nigga, and pay me. And hey, she developed a certification program.
Developed a fucking to stroke. A master. I mean,
you want to be a master stroker.
You, she had to be, but it was genius because she made this shit into a nonprofit by making it a religion. But here's, she made it into, pay no taxes. Now we are a religion. We got a church of the stroking. The stroking of the clits.
But the other thing is, which I didn't understand, like, right from the beginning. Why do I need to pay you thousands? And why do I need multiple classes of just like, tell, give me the, you know, the 1, 2, 3.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're done. Why do I need a whole religion?
She took advantage of Silicon Valley's excess. To me, she took advantage. To me, that's why I think it's genius, because you got all these young motherfuckers with all this money,
mm-hmm,
techies, some of them who could never ever get a girl if on a best day. So I'm giving you access to women to stroke, and you pay me and you get a religious enlightenment.
And you saw the men, right?
They were fucking hideous. Can you imagine? And then the one gay girl, she had to open her legs to get stroked, and she didn't even
want that shit. She didn't even want that shit.
She didn't
want
to be stroked by no man,
right? And again, like, the men were really gross. And then she had like a system where she certified them to be master stroke.
Like, come on. Then she got pimps, she had hoes, she had soldiers who was like, you know, had to go out and recruit and get people to give her that money.
But wait, okay, she was they had a thing where she was like, if you need to have your blow your lines clean, remember?
No.
They had a thing where, I guess, if you were congested, I guess, and they'd be like, you might need someone to get in there and blow your lines clean.
Oh my gosh.
What the fuck are you talking about?
And then, can you imagine being involved in an organization, and they say, if you get into it with somebody, you got to go fuck them.
Oh my gosh.
Don't come back until y'all have done it.
Can you imagine?
Isn't that against the law? Aren't there some laws being violated now?
That was sick. That was sick. Sick. And she kept on, they started out talking about a 15-minute orgasm. Is that really like a thing?
I don't think so. I got the impression that it was, she felt like she could teach men to get a woman there within 15 minutes. That's how I took that. Not that the orgasm itself lasts for 15 minutes. I don't even know how you're going to put your mouth on it or something, because.
All of that in there. No point did nobody put their mouth on it. This ain't the church
for me. Oh, that's stroking. Maybe y'all don't want to be stroked today.
Right. But then, like, but she had a TED talk.
She had a and it was viral. It was a viral TED talk.
Now
she's very charismatic. Now she is very magnetic and charismatic. I could see how people would want to be in her presence and follow her. But at the same time, at what point do you say, this is holy batshit crazy?
This makes no sense.
This
makes no sense. But, you know, it was not a mistake, the type of people that, you know, she was able, this shit worked on. She, like you said, they were these people in the Silicon Valley that had a lot of disposable income. Mm-hmm. People in these career fields don't tend to have the most developed social skills. Think Elon Musk.
Mm-hmm. Who probably has a small penis, but I digress.
Use that. But yeah, but they even said it. They said they were starved for physical affection.
And now they moved in. They moved into the damn comp. Like, what? Mm-hmm. The one dude who was like an engineer, the bald-headed dude, he lived on a boat before that. He moved from his boat into the place like the same night that he got involved, and he never left. He just was there for like months.
He didn't recover because he, at some point in the documentary, he's like pulling out his evidence. I'm like, well, you ain't learned nothing, all right? Because this, you know, he's trying to like, but if you let go,
I'll be damned if I let your ugly ass whip me. No. You would have to be Idris Elba. You would have to be Idris.
Master Stroker be damned. That is. But look, an annual membership was $60,000.
60 grand. And they were paying it. Paying it.
You know, a lot of people don't make $60,000 in a year.
Girl, and this was like, well, this was not that long ago, but it was a couple years ago. So, of course, inflation. So that was a lot of money then. It's a lot of money now. 60 grand.
And then, but wait, when she was, you know, we were gonna stroke the guys.
Oh, yeah. And then they had to stop.
He was going in their butts and stroking.
What?
Because they kept on talking about going in and tickling, like the women. So I thought they were gonna go in the men's butts too. My hand jobs. I was like,
hand jobs, yes.
Man job.
But the crazy part, I think the part that I was just like, my mouth open, my mouth was agape, when the motherfuckers did a demonstration of the stroking. I was like, are y'all fucking serious?
Now, you know what? That is when it was clear to me, because I was like, this bitch a hoe. Okay. Joe, because your typical person cannot get on a table and crack your legs open with a crowd and get stroked.
I'm whole crotch to the crowd. But she was sick. She was a pimp. Because you know she had pimped for her father.
And that was a fake orgasm when she did that.
Oh yeah, I believe that was fake.
Whoa. Like, what?
And then you got the guy, he looking like he is doing surgery. He got a, you know, he all close to her crotch. Like he about to play a masterpiece. I'm like, this, he's a master. They call him a master stroker. I'll be the judge of that, sir.
She had to go home and be laughing to herself. But then the other thing, check out the other thing she did. Because you know what? You can put lipstick on a pig, it's still a pig. Mm-hmm. She was a pimp and they were hoes.
She was a pimp. So
they needed more women.
Women, yes.
Most people signing up were men who could not get pussy, access to vagina.
They kept saying pussy too, which was weird. But
I was like, chill with that. Chill with the pussy thing. So the women had to participate so that the men would have vaginas to practice on.
Ain't that some shit?
It's disgusting.
That is like, what if you don't feel like it that day? You know what I'm saying? I don't feel like getting stroked this today.
And by randoms. Like, now, and those dudes don't know nothing about pussy, to use their word.
Right.
You know, none of, you know they was in that party scraping clitoris.
Oh, pain. And then think if you are gay. The thought, I mean, I would just think that would be akin to a woman stroking me. I'd be like, I don't want this. Let me just close my eyes and let it happen. Oh.
But that ain't enough.
It's getting paid.
But I knew when she got on that table and faked that orgasm. I was like, oh, this bitch ain't no joke.
But I was surprised. Now that's when I was like, I was really surprised that she did that. I was like, oh, so she's making them do it, but she'll never oh my gosh, she's getting on the table and getting.
When she got up there so casually and cracked them legs open, mm-hmm. I knew the game was on at that point. I said, oh.
For the investors. For the investors, she did that.
Four investors. Four investors.
I'm sure the investors just showed up to see if this bitch really gonna do it. Is she really gonna get her ass on the table?
Here's another example of when we gotta be clear what's happening. Let's not negotiate with mm-hmm. reality. Because a motherfucker that'll get on a table, crack her legs open.
She ain't wrapped tight.
She's not okay. And then get back down off that table and be like, what do you think about joining the company? No. You can't do both of those. And
yeah.
You cannot. When she got up there, I was like, oh, we dealing with something. And I was like, oh, that's a hole right there.
I mean.
And none against hoes, because everybody got work somewhere.
Hey.
But only a hoe. Somebody with an expertise. We was looking at a professional.
Oh, for sure.
Looking at a professional. Only a hoe can have that level of comfort to lay on a table in front of cameras and strangers, crack it open, get master stroke, pretend to have that level of orgasm, down and be like, are you going to invest?
Yes, she gangster. She was gangster. I think she got greedy though. She was gangster.
Yeah.
I think she got a little greedy and above, you know, beside herself.
Yeah, it got too good to her because she could have still worked this. She could have dragged it out a little bit more, but she took it too far.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just like, her pimp hand got too strong.
Yes, her pimp hand.
Pimp hand got too strong. And, yeah. And she was working her bottom bitches too hard.
Man.
You know, come on. They were so vulgar.
They kept saying the P word. I'm like, I'm not a prude, but god damn, y'all say pussy a lot.
It was intentional. You know what I'm saying? And like, I think it was some of it was for the shock value. Mm-hmm.
And to desensitize, maybe?
Very good. I think so. I think it was to desensitize. And I think it also, that's the way they talk in pornos that those guys watch.
You just said it. Absolutely. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So
they were encouraged to use the P word. They were encouraged to say that.
She was blowing a dog whistle in a lot of ways to men in like this fringe
population.
Mm-hmm. Population of men as well. Mm-hmm. In the aggression.
Oh yeah.
Encouraging them like in rape. To me, rape fantasies or to act out aggressively. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like to me, she was like speaking in code
uh-huh.
of this being acceptable and that she was helping to facilitate
these
behaviors that she was willing to make an environment mm-hmm. where they could pay to behave in this way and
it would be
acceptable and she would put it in a construct
mm-hmm.
that was acceptable for them,
mm-hmm.
you know, for them. So the whole thing, like all of that shit about, you know, accepting male aggression and rape and the victim thing. And, you know, even the thing about the child molestation.
That's not an accident.
Like all of those things that she was saying, those things are not accidents.
Yeah.
Even her speaking in the way that people on porno speak mm-hmm. because you don't have to keep saying you're my pussy and you take my pussy and you fucking my pussy and stuck in my pussy. Like it's like I don't think that's not an accident.
No, not at all. And I don't even know that it was cold. In some ways she was just outright just very above board and overtly saying it's okay to be aggressive here and it's okay, you know, and I mean, you hit the nail right on the head though. I think that she, it's almost like she wanted to desensitize the women maybe and just onlookers, you know, and people who might want to invest. But it could have worked, but
it could have worked. But you know, a saying I say all the time, no matter where you go, there you are.
Mm-hmm.
So because she is who she is, you know, and she couldn't hold that. She couldn't hold that hole down.
Right? Yeah.
She a greedy hole.
Had to come out eventually.
That nasty greedy hole just kept coming out because you can't take her nowhere. Basically, she had it. If she had calmed down, stopped wearing out her bottom bitches, you know, them girls, to use her language, their pussies were literally sore. You know, she like, she got them, you know, plus it's like, see, she's a hoe. You know what I'm saying? So she has made that transition in her head a long time ago.
Uh-huh.
She cool with that, but the women that she had in that, they weren't hoes.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a relationship with who's touching them,
right?
And that's gonna wear on them. She didn't have any appreciation for that.
No, it was just money for her.
So to her, she like she told the story about her one John who he just wanted to choke her and
I don't believe her though. I think she was a master liar. I do not believe some of what she was. I think she was, some of it was for a shot. Now, I do believe her when she said that her father was a molester. And I think that 100% impacted her, how she got down, you know, how she gets down in the world. That had to be traumatic. So you have a sick person walking amongst us. And to her credit, she was able to, like you said, allay the effects of her abuse for some time. She was able to cover that up. And I think that's kind of what helped. So she must have been, she's smart on some level, but to your point, it had to come out, it manifests in other ways. You know, it had to come out eventually. You know, she may be smart, she may be business savvy, but she's sick. And part of that is probably because of what she went through as a kid. The other stuff, I don't know if I believe. I don't know if I believe she might have been a stripper. I don't know if I believe that. I think she was trying to maybe relate to what the women were going through somehow or make it okay for, you know, hey, I went through this too, or I went through that. So I don't know how much of that was true and how much she just seemed like a liar.
She seemed to lack a great deal of compassion to me.
Oh, for sure.
Like, in a bizarre way.
Well, when you helping your dad get little girls to molest, you kind of, maybe you're desensitized, you know? You're numb to it. Right. No compassion. You got to do that to survive.
Because I think, like, the typical person would wear on you to have women, well, she knew those women were not comfortable basically having sexual experiences with random men for the sake of your financial, you know, she knew that, but she had a high level of comfortability with it.
She was like, okay with it.
That's not normal to me.
No, not at all. No.
Like,
all bets are off. Cause it wasn't like it would be different if these were sex workers who were used to this kind of thing, but these are just regular women who were like, oh, okay. You say it's for the greater good. You say it's for, you know, the religion, the spirituality, you know? That wasn't cool. That wasn't cool at all.
But she's so smart. Like, to me though, that's the common sense part that she didn't seem to get. And I think her greed kind of obscured this. Is the, like you say, they're not sex workers though.
Mm-mm.
A sex worker to some level makes a peace or an acceptance of this transactional relationship.
Right.
These women were college educated and that isn't the road that they pursued in life or being. And so they hadn't gone through that, you know, awakening, so to speak. So they're going to emotionally struggle along with the fact that these were, to me, emotionally vulnerable people.
Period. Anyway, yeah.
Anyway, they already were struggling.
She manipulated. She took advantage of them.
Yeah.
Did you catch the part where one of the high paying patrons was going to leave and they caught her in and she just started crying?
Yes.
And then the person said, okay, I won't leave. And then when they left, she was like, I bet y'all didn't see that coming. That's what I'm saying. She's a master manipulator. And I think she's a liar. And anything that to me underscores what you said about her not having compassion, her just, you know, it was about the bottom line for her.
Right.
And she'd do anything.
Anything.
Including disrobe and get her ass up on the table.
And get her little... And the sassy girl tickled with just right there.
Splat out.
Yes, right. And unlike the other Netflix thing, they didn't even put on gloves or no shit. No, they just
did put on gloves. They did.
Oh, they did have gloves.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. They put on gloves. Not that makes it any better. And they had lubricant. It was a special lubricant, though. It was the spiritual lubricant.
Oh Lord.
It had to be the right, you know, special lubricant. Oh man, I just
kind of like hold it. Okay, so the part where I think she was calling it orgasmic rebalancing, where she said it was moving energy in the body.
Mm-hmm.
At one point she was like biting that woman's crotch when she was moving the energy around.
What the absolute, what are you doing?
I literally had to pause it and just take a moment to myself. I was like, this is
what's her name? What was her name? Daydawn. Her last name is Daydawn. What's her first name?
I don't know. Is it Diane? I don't know what her, it's Nicole.
Nicole Daydawn.
Nicole Daydawn with Orgasm Inc. But okay, so where it really got super weird, and I was like, okay, it's time for me to stop. When she was talking about rape.
Yes, that's I was off board at that point.
Yeah, and when she was talking about her father being a child molester.
Yeah, and she just said it like matter-of-factly. Then I was like, oh, she's sick.
Right.
That's not well.
Okay, this girl is out there.
And she would have to recruit young girls for her father, who is now in jail.
Yeah, and then she was talking about, you know, but if you don't put the judgment call on it.
Like, what?
What the fuck are you talking about?
Yes.
But now that's way too crazy.
And then the whole, she really turned me off. And I'm like, she turned into a David Koresh figure. You know who David Koresh is, right?
Yeah.
She turned into a David Koresh figure, or like one of the sister wives. What do you call them? The Church of the Latter-day Saints cult. Mm-hmm. When she said, I got raped and all I got is a victim story.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, this is where I get off.
Whoa.
The train. I'm like, she is sick.
Yeah, I'm like, this ain't even funny.
It's not fun. That wasn't funny. It was, and she doubled down on that.
Yes.
Or I'm a rapist and all I got was a perpetrator story or something. I'm like, okay, I'm done. I'm done with her.
And then like she said, she was they encourage women to appreciate the predatory nature of male sexuality.
Sick. She should be in jail. Now, to me, I was like, didn't she violate some laws or something? Shouldn't she be in jail? She's still out there.
Yeah, because...
And I think this company is still...
Yeah, she just left the country for a while, but she's still out there. and made a lot of money.
Shouldn't she be in jail though for that? I think somebody did get hurt. Like, and then what do you make of the guy she was married to? What was that about? He looked like he was about 105.
He looked like a John she just happened to have married. I know. I'm like, what is that?
And he's all like, yeah, I'm married to the leader of a sex cult.
Who wouldn't want that?
He was her slave.
Right. She was gross. I don't know.
Yeah, that was some shit though. But on some levels, I was like, wow, she took advantage of, she exploited a population of people who maybe, you know, they deserved it. Maybe they deserved to be exploited.
You know what? I don't know. I mean, I think it reminded me when we were talking about Coach Stormy.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same theme.
Sure.
People have voids in their life. You know, they have vulnerabilities. And at some point, people like Nicole find whatever it is for that person. And, you know, they play on it. And for these people, you know, with sex, like perhaps these people would never openly pay to be a part of a orgy, but they could do it within this context,
right?
You know,
it was already in them on some level. It had to be in them somehow, because I mean, at some point you got to have I would think that regular normal people would see that. With time, the chick got on the table in front of all of us and took off her pants, and oh boy, went to town like he was about to play a symphony. That should have been a red flag. Like, yeah, this is where I exit stage left.
But you know what? We as people, though, we everybody does it, though. We negotiate with ourselves about when something may be okay, even when we feel it isn't. You know, so it may True. Not have, that particular theme may not have gotten me, but it's some other version of it. You know, maybe it's the low vibrational plate. Maybe.
Fair enough.
Something, but, you know, it's the same themes. You know, it's people exploiting people's needs and vulnerabilities, or people having a low point in your life, you know?
That's which true.
Have. And if the wrong type of person shows up at a vulnerable point in your life, you know, things can happen that you just never thought could happen. So that's why you got to stay prayed up, you know, and practice the thing of at least keep it clear in your own head
mm-hmm.
that you're not, don't negotiate with reality. Even if you're going to choose to do something, just mm-hmm. know, keep it clear in your own head that I'm choosing this, but I know this is some bullshit.
Yes. Okay? Yes.
So as long as you keep it clear,
mm-hmm.
you know, but it's people out there just waiting. And that's the truth. That's
like a church. Sorry.
When you look up, you're going to be on a table.
Butt naked, getting stroked.
Getting master stroked. So that ain't it. So
well yeah. said. Well said.
It happens.
Gosh. But you are so right when you say all of us have the propensity mm-hmm. to rationalize some choice
mm-hmm.
We made, even when sometimes it might not make sense.
Yeah. And if a situation or a person catches you at the right time,
right, mm-hmm.
you know,
it could be us.
It could be you. You know, even though you know you look at these things, you think ain't no way in hell. You know, I'm always real easy with the ain't no way in hell, because I have lived long enough to know right. life happens. You know.
Amen.
Life happens, situations, you know, you lose people, you lose situations,
right?
You lose yourself, you know, and
preach on.
Listen,
absolutely right.
So actually, you know, sometimes people think that it's more of a protection. We're like, oh, that never happened to me. No, what prepares you more is to say
it could
happen mm-hmm. to me. Okay, mm-hmm. So know that such and such could happen to you, and stay grounded in reality. But
well said.
Don't judge people. You know,
well said.
You don't know where people at. You don't know where you're gonna be. So hang in there.
100%. Well said. And on that note,
thank you for listening. If you like what you heard, review, subscribe, and share. It helps other listeners find us. And don't forget to follow us at Yummy Fearless on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and even Pinterest, where you'll find additional content from today's show and also our highly curated He Can Get It list. As always, you can listen to the Yummy and Fearless podcast with the Side Chicks on Apple iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, and Spotify. And if no one else has told you today, we love you and thank you so much for listening.
You've been listening to a podcast of the Podfix Network. Discover more audible gems like this at podfixnetwork.com. Make sure to catch up-to-the-minute network shenanigans by following @Podfix on Twitter, @official_Podfix on Instagram, @Podfix Network on Facebook. And make sure to subscribe to Podfix Presents wherever you choose to find podcasts. The Podfix Network, artist owned and loved.